Thanks, Judith, and thank you to the co-chairs and to the conference for the opportunity to speak, given there's so many of us crammed in here. I'm talking about a national PrEP cascade of PrEP uptake among Australian gay and bisexual men from the Gay Community Periodic Surveys, and some of my colleagues and team members are also here. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors. More importantly, I'd like to acknowledge all the gay and bisexual men, including HIV-positive men, who take part in the surveys every year in their thousands, the FAO and NAPWA member organisations who make recruitment possible, my co-investigators, and particularly the research team at CSRH, who do all the work coordinating the surveys, our funders, and there are no drug funding to disclose. So as a way of background, PrEP cascades have been suggested as a way to monitor and identify gaps in PrEP uptake. Oh, can you just start the counter? Thanks. And these are kind of mirrored on HIV care cascades, with the idea that you can identify gaps in the cascade to try and modify problems with implementation. They do have their issues. And the analysis I'm presenting here is based on a longer paper we have under review at the moment where we actually discuss some of those problems. However, this is showing a 5-year period from the Gay Community Periodic Surveys. For those of you who have not heard of them, they're the primary HIV behavioural surveillance system of gay and bisexual men in Australia. They're largely a community-based recruitment system, supplemented by online recruitment. And we have used the periodic surveys as an example of using an existing system to monitor implementation of a new technology, and developed this fairly simple 3-step cascade, which has eligibility for PrEP, which I'll explain how we operationalise that on the next slide. Awareness of PrEP, so have people actually even heard of this technology? You would imagine most people have by now, but the retrospective data is kind of interesting. And then PrEP use among people who are eligible and have heard of PrEP. So each step is based on the previous one, echoing the HIV care cascade. As I mentioned, we have face-to-face and online recruitment. The surveys nearly cover the whole country, so I'm claiming national coverage, even though the Northern Territory are not included. We'd love them to be included. If you're here and responsible for funding in the Northern Territory, please come and talk to me. And in the recruitment is annual in the more populous states, so mainly the eastern states, and in the less populous states, it's every 2 years. This analysis just sort of illustrating the scale of the surveys contains nearly 40,000 non-HIV positive participants. Okay, so eligibility are actually now a little bit out of date in this analysis because they're based on the previous prescribing guidelines that people were using up until yesterday. Operationalised as any condomless anal intercourse with positive male partners who are not on treatment or with detectable viral loads. There were very few of those. More commonly, any receptive condomless sex with casual partners in the last 6 months, any crystal meth use, and any STI diagnosis in the last year, and that's not as specific as the prescribing guidelines, which has traditionally focused on rectal STIs. Eligibility in this sample is most commonly due to receptive condomless sex with casual partners, which is up to a quarter of the sample, or an STI diagnosis, up to a fifth of the sample, and both of those characteristics have been increasing in the sample over time. Okay, so I just wanted to note, because I think I was hoping that I could perhaps show all of the cascades for every jurisdiction. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that, because it would take way too long. But I just wanted to note by showing you two of the jurisdictions, before I show you the national one, Queensland on the left and Tasmania on the right, there is a high degree of variability between these jurisdictions in this last 5-year period, and we've been sort of alluding to that over the last couple of days. Queensland is the most recent survey round included in this analysis and has the highest degree of PrEP uptake, and you can see the cascade here, eligibility, awareness and use, and 5 years of data in each group, and you can see eligibility going up, awareness going up a lot, and use going up a fair bit, but clearly there's a drop-off in each step. And you can see in Tasmania lower levels of eligibility, awareness and use. So if you're interested in your jurisdictional cascade, please talk to me. We can prepare those for you. Okay, so let's move to the national cascade. I did show a version of this last year, but this is now updated with every participating jurisdiction between 2014 and 2018. And you can see some positive trends here. You can see eligibility. Well, I don't know if we'd call that positive, that eligibility is going up. But anyway, now referred to as suitability. We could have a discourse analysis of the changing terminology from public health researchers. Eligibility, as I mentioned, is largely going up because people are using condoms less often with casual partners and because of more STI diagnoses. And you can see it was relatively stable at around 30% and has jumped to nearly 40%. In the last 2 years. That's actually tied to PrEP use. So this is, in a weird way, not a linear cascade. It's kind of linked together. Awareness, you can see, was actually incredibly low. Back in 2014, fewer than 1 in 10 men in the periodic surveys had heard of PrEP or knew how to get it. And that's jumped a lot to nearly a third. And you can see the figures in brackets are the proportion is based on the previous step, a bit like the 1990 care cascade. So you can see awareness among eligible men rose to 87% last year. And then use, you can see, and it seems weird to actually talk about this, but back in 2014, there was almost no PrEP use in the sample at all. And it's risen to 15% of the overall sample here, which represents about 45% of aware, eligible and aware men, and because I couldn't resist, that represents nearly 40% of eligible men in 2018. So a big increase in coverage, disguising a lot of variability between jurisdictions, but clearly quite a long way to go if we're to believe Andrew's figure of 70%. I'm not sure I believe that, but anyway. There's still a lot of room for improvement here. Okay, so what I didn't do last year, but which we flagged, was trying to analyse one of these drop-offs, because that's the point of these cascades, to go, can we intervene in one of these gaps? And so the biggest drop-off here, the biggest drop-off at the beginning was awareness. So people just hadn't heard of PrEP at the beginning of this time sequence. Now the biggest drop-off is in use. So people have heard of it, but they're not necessarily using it. So I'm analysing the difference between men who are and aren't using PrEP, but they're eligible and they're aware. And we use multivariate logistic regression to do this. Okay, so here, this is not all the findings, but some of them. What's interesting, and Andrew mentioned this yesterday, is we do see some geographical and some socioeconomic differences in PrEP use, which is interesting because we often haven't seen that up until recently. In the uptake of prevention, we have some jurisdictional differences with the ACT and WA showing lower levels of uptake and higher level of uptake in Queensland, although that may be a function of them being the most recent survey round in this data set. Anglo-Australian men, men with university degrees, and men in full-time employment were all more likely to be using PrEP last year. So it's interesting, given it's technically low cost through the PBS, that we're still seeing these kind of socioeconomic differences. Looking at kind of risk practice or behavioural practice, I think it's no surprise here that basically PrEP users are much more likely to are much more sexually active. They're much less likely to report condom use with regular or casual partners, and they're much more likely to be tested, as you would expect, due to the testing regime, or to report diagnosis with an STI in the previous year. Although they're actually less likely to report recent crystal use. So it's interesting here that eligible and aware men are more likely to report crystal use in the national periodic sample. So maybe we should be having a discussion about that. I know crystal use is not the only thing we think of in terms of drug-enhanced sex as a risk factor, but it's interesting they turn up in this analysis. The one thing I would note, though, if you just look at these eligible not men who are not using PrEP on their own, they're reporting high levels of condomless sex. They're actually quite service engaged. They're really quite likely to have turned up at a service for an HIV test. 50% of them have been diagnosed with an STI in the previous year. And as I mentioned, like 1 in 5 have reported recent crystal use. So these people are turning up at services and they're either not being offered PrEP or they're not asking for it or they don't want to use it. So that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. Okay, I am under time. In summary, we've shown that with this and also the PREPARE project, which James will be talking about next, that we can construct cascades from routine behavioural surveillance, which is useful because, you know, we usually have the funding to carry on doing this, please, states and territories. Our analysis of this retrospective analysis shows wide state and territory variability, which I know many of the jurisdictions are, you know, focused on at the moment. But we do see massive increases in eligibility, awareness and use in this five-year period. The initial gap that we see in the cascade suggests that lack of awareness has been kind of solved because we've all been talking about PrEP and promoting it to people. And the more recent gap in the last couple of years is among eligible and aware men who are not necessarily using PrEP at this stage. That said, PrEP coverage in this cascade reached 39% of eligible men last year, and the gap analysis we did shows lower levels of uptake in the less populous states and territories among non-Anglo men, less educated men, and those without full-time employment. That said, eligible non-users report high levels of condomless sex, STIs, and crystal use, and so appear to remain at risk of HIV. Thank you.